All right. Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Lindsay W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and I am in Texas. Today is Tuesday, June 9th, 2026, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter We Agnostics, and we're on page 44 in the first paragraph, beginning in the preceding chapter, you have learned, and we're reading through that one paragraph that ends, only a spiritual experience will conquer, commenting on that one paragraph. All right, today's readers are, for the 12 steps, Colleen M., the 12 traditions, Anita L., and then our readers of the text will be Susan S.H., and Devorah S. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, June 8th, are for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,526. So that is 23526. And then the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,527. So that is 23527. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Colleen M. to please read the 12 steps for us.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for your service. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we are entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Colleen M., and I will now ask Anita L. to please read the 12 traditions for us.
Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters of affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you, Anita L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today, we are resuming our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 44, the first paragraph that begins, "In the preceding chapter, you have learned," and then we're reading through that one paragraph ending, "Only a spiritual experience will conquer." And I will now ask Susan S.H. to begin reading for us. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Lindsay. Thank you. This is Susan S.H. in Ohio. I'm a compulsive eater, recovered today, and very grateful. Okay, chapter 4, We Agnostics. In the preceding chapters, you've learned something about alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if, when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. This didn't necessarily sit well with me at the time I first read it. I've come to love this chapter so much. It has changed my life. I honestly wanted to quit. I honestly wanted not to do this to myself, hurt myself anymore with food. When I got to 60. I went to one meeting when I was in my 20s, and they sounded nuts to me. I didn't think that was for me. I didn't think I could do that. So it took me a long, long time to come back in desperation, in failure. So I honestly wanted to. And after all those years of striving, dieting, struggling to fix myself, Coming around to a spiritual solution was at first hard to see and hard to swallow. But I knew this was me. I honestly wanted to, and I can't manufacture it myself. What other choice do I have? There's nothing. I can either keep going the way I have been and watch my blood pressure rise further, watch my blood sugar rise further, or I could listen and see, can I trust these people? Are they recovered? Indeed, you know, I did trust my sponsor, and she was very understanding about my agnosticism, not judging, not pointing her finger, and I learned to take the actions before I made. I learned to take the actions, and when I found out that if I take the actions directed in the steps, I get the results that are promised. And I couldn't deny that. I was glad to embrace it. So I have definitely come around. I don't consider myself an agnostic in any way, shape, or form. Do I understand perfectly my higher power from all the reading and all the experience? No. My higher power is well beyond my understanding. But I know that I'm loved, and I know that I have somewhere to turn. I am so grateful that I opened up just that little bit to let it start coming in. And that's what I have to say, and I will pass.
Thank you, Susan S.H. in Ohio, for getting us started this morning. All right. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share this morning? Anne Marie M.
Harlan G.
Karen K. Nicole S.
Janie G. in Michigan.
Larry L. Florida.
All right, let me tell you who I've got so far. So I've got Anne Marie M., Harlan G., Karen K., Nicole S., Janie G. I heard someone L. in Florida. What was your first name?
Cheryl.
Cheryl. Gotcha, Cheryl. All right, who did I miss?
Also, Liz Mary. S. in Oregon.
Someone in Oregon.
Liz S. Liz F.
Gotcha, Liz.
And Lisa
then I got
N.
someone K. All right, Lisa N. Anybody else want to hop in on this first lineup? If I didn't hear you, type in.
Julie M. New York.
Shelley B.
I'm Mary from New York. I announced my name several times.
Can you say it one more time?
Mary from New York.
Larry?
Mary.
Mary. Gotcha, Mary. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks.
All right. So here's who I have. Anne Marie, Harlan, Karen K., Nicole S., Janie G., Cheryl L., Liz S., Lisa N., Julie N., Shelley B., and Mary. So we will get started with Anne Marie M., followed by Harlan. Good morning, Anne Marie.
Good morning, Lindsay. This is Anne Marie M. Good morning, everyone. I am in South Carolina, and through God's grace and mercy, I'm recovering from compulsive overeating. You know, this question jumps out at me. Well, I'm not sure if it's a question, but it's a statement. If I'm going to personalize it, when I honestly want to, I find that I can't quit entirely, or if when I want to I want to phrase it the way that I want it, just so personalized. But when I honestly want to, I find that, you know, I found that I couldn't quit entirely. Or if when I was compulsively overeating, I had little control over the amount I took, I am probably a compulsive overeater. And I would say I am a compulsive overeater. It's not probably. This is such a good question. Well, because it's not a question. It's a statement to ask. When I was sponsoring, you know, this is a great question for me to ask. And, you know, this helps me see that I cannot control this compulsive overeating, that I do need a power greater than myself. And I just think it's so simple. You know, step one, I am powerless. So step two, I believe that a power higher than me that can relieve this this disease of compulsive overeating, the mind, help me with the twist of the mind so that I can think clearly. You know, for me, I know what foods that I cannot safely eat. They trigger me, so I put them away. I thank you, God, for putting them away, you know, taking the desire to compulsively overeat and giving me neutrality around food. I am grateful. I am grateful for that. And, you know, my desire to stop eating compulsively was helpful. The hope that I saw in the rooms, or I should say the hope that I found in this meeting of what I consider a solution-based meeting, and I do attend solution-based meetings. The hope that I heard and the hope that I see when I'm on Zoom meetings has helped me tremendously. So need to keep doing what I'm doing and not think that I've got this, because that's what I did so many times when I fell back into the food. I didn't fall back into the food. I went back to the food because I thought I had this thing. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thanks, Anne Marie M. in South Carolina. Next up is Harlan G., followed by Karen K. Morning, Harlan.
Thanks. Good morning, Lindsay. Thank you. And if you would, please don't be gentle with your reminder because I'm outdoors. I'm Harlan G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. What is an agnostic, and why did he title it We Agnostics? Bill wasn't an agnostic. He was a reasonably believed in God. Why did he title that? Why didn't he title it To the Agnostic or For the Agnostic? And here's why. We who are of the temperament that says we believe in God, we have pockets of agnosticism. And he knew he needed to address that. What does that mean? Well, God, you can have my food, but I'll handle my money. God, you can have my food, but I'll handle my friendships, my relationships. I'll handle my health, whatever that may be. And we are told in this book over and over again that we must give everything over to God. Now, agnostic means, ag means without, gnostic means knowledge. An atheist believes very strongly that there is no religious deity up in the sky with a big gray beard. An agnostic, he or she, they're just not sure yet. They're very agnostic, that they're just not sure, and then the believer believes. But what we have is the requirement that we have a spiritual awakening, a spiritual experience. We're told on page 43, last paragraph, his defense must come from a higher power. We're being told again that we must have a spiritual experience. So if someone is an agnostic, can they have a spiritual experience? If someone's an atheist, can they? And the answer is, in capital letters, yes. Because all that is required of me, as we find out on page 47, that I'd be willing to believe. This program doesn't ask me to believe a thing. All it asks me to believe is that I'd be willing to believe that there's a power greater than myself. Now, I happen to believe in God, but that's not a requirement. That's not a requirement of the program. The program just asks, am I willing to believe that there's a power greater than myself? And to invade these pockets of agnosticism is a lifetime process. In other words, I'm going to be working on steps 6 and 7 for the rest of my life. This is not a one-and-done program. And as I move through the program and the years go by, I find pockets of agnosticism. I find that I get to know myself better.
That's
and in
time.
Getting to know myself better, I'm going to stop. As I get to know myself better, I know and I believe in God stronger and stronger. Thank you for your service. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Harlan G. in Arizona. Next up is Karen K., followed by Nicole S. Morning, Karen.
Good morning. I'm Karen K. from Syracuse, New York, and I'm a compulsive eater, and my credits don't transfer. This is actually my favorite chapter because it shows that I cannot do this alone. My sponsor can't do it for me. My fellows can't do it for me, although those are very nice things to have in my life. But I need to have that quiet time in the morning, the pauses throughout the day. And it's amazing for me now that God seems to be, what do I want to call it? He's getting me some neutrality around my thinking and my soul and getting them connected. You know, the old saying in the rooms is the longest distance is between in my head and to my heart. And sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly. And I just know for me, I'm grateful when I came into program, that relationship was there. And somewhere along the line, I stopped increasing my spiritual development. That could have been sponsoring, that could have been, I'm going to do it my way, you know, and things, and it didn't work. It didn't work because the food wouldn't have been, it wouldn't have been a solution for me again. You know, damn that diet soda, if I could just stop for like one day, if I could just stop, see, I don't hear any God in that. You know, so one day, this spiritual moment I had, I can't describe it because it's God. This has to stop or I'm going to die. And I don't want to die. I've seen too many people die from this disease. And even having a healthy fear of dying didn't help me put down the diet soda. Having a healthy fear of, oh no, now I'm on high blood pressure, I'm turning 60, that didn't stop it until I fell to my knees one morning and said, God, please help me. So I'm grateful that I'm able to share those experiences, but also be able to share with other people and with my sponsor that there have been times, like it's been said before, I can take this part. Oh, I can do this part. I can handle my marriage. No, God, even though I said my vows, we're good. I'm just going to keep doing it. And my only, as it says, my only defense against anything, my thinking, my driving, my paying bills, whatever these are, has to be from God first. You know, keep it simple, good, orderly direction. And I'm very grateful. This gift is a fragile gift. It must be safe and protected by God. And, you know, taking calls and making calls. I know it's not
that's
in the big
time
book to do those things. Oh, my God, I used 3 minutes up. That hasn't happened in a long time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Karen K. in New York. And then next up is Nicole S., followed by Janie G. Morning, Nicole.
Good morning. This is Nicole S., recovered in Colorado. Thank you, Lindsay, for your service. And I like how this says only a spiritual experience will conquer. And back on page 25, it talks of the great fact, you know, nothing less. We have had deep, effective spiritual experiences. And those says it's revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and toward God's universe. the fact that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous and has commenced to accomplish those things for us, which we could never do by ourselves. And that is what I have found my experience. When I work this program, I let go, I let God be in charge. I play the actor in the role that He assigns. Those are those promises I have, and they are wonderful. And only a spiritual experience could conquer this illness for me. And then back in the appendix on page 567 on spiritual experience, it talks also, he finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly never have been brought about by himself alone. And I love that definition too of that spiritual experience, because this is not brought on by me. It was a miracle from God. It has taken work. And thankfully, it talks this paragraph in the preceding chapters, we've learned something of alcoholism, and we've have another test here of the true, true compulsive eater, the compared to the hard eater or the moderate eater. And it's going to, lay out the program exactly how we can have that spiritual experience. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Nicole S. in Colorado. And then next up, we've got Janie G., followed by Cheryl L.
Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you for your service. This is Janie G. in Michigan, gratefully recovered. I just love this opening chapter, because I just see that, again, it is self-diagnosis, first of all. There's if and little control, and I'm suffering. I feel like this is just so empathetic with those of us who come in. We don't come in on a high note, and I surely didn't. And I have an illness. I said in the beginning, what's wrong with me? I just can't stop. I can't eat like a normal person. I say I want to, and I can't. And today I'm so thankful that I got this gift of desperation, and that I was out of ideas. I had to throw up my hands and throw up the white flag of surrender and diagnose myself and say, I'm done, I'm beat, I'm out of ideas. And this is exactly, ironically, the best place to be, because that's the only way that I'm going to be open to recognize that I need help, is if I'm convinced of my utter inability to control this thing. I'm a distinct entity. I'm a real compulsive overeater. And that idea that I'm like other normal eaters, quote unquote, has to be smashed. And it took a lot for me to get to this point. And I'm so thankful that I did. It takes what it takes. But, I am open to that spiritual experience. I have had that. I look ahead to the 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And that's what these steps have done for me. I do so little compared to what God does. I mean, I work these steps. Yes, I do practice these things. I do the dailies. And every day I'm either working on my recovery or I'm working on a relapse. I'm moving in one direction or the other. I'm not staying still. But God has showed me that, and the book says He does for me what I could not do for myself. I cannot make this complete psychic change that I need, this change in personality. I cannot make myself have a spiritual experience. Only God can. And what I do is so little compared to what God does. He gave me this vision that of a woman picking something in a field and a little baby strapped to her back. And He said to me, that is me. I am that woman and you are that baby on my back. Watch me work. And I just have had that experience. I feel like recovery is being done to me, and I could not do this myself. And I am just in awe. Yes, I do what I need to do. I follow directions.
That's fine.
And but I'm just so thankful. When I am weak, he is strong. And that's my experience. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Janie G. in Michigan. And then before Cheryl L. shares, I'll let everyone know where we are. So we are in the chapter We Agnostics, page 44, the first paragraph in the preceding chapter You Have Learned. All right. So Cheryl L., you're up, followed by Liz S.
Good morning. This is Cheryl L. calling from Florida. Thank you so much for your service this morning. I'm so grateful to be in this chapter. I look forward to this, and it is one of my favorite chapters in the book. And like an earlier share, I didn't think when I first got into recovery that I needed this chapter because I did have a faith. But I have discovered over the years that I do have those pockets of agnosticism. It's not if I'm agnostic, it's when am I agnostic? When am I playing God? And there are certainly times, even today, you know, and certainly I'm much more aware of the times when I'm playing God today than I was before recovery. Just looking at this opening paragraph here, you know, I'm reminded that we've just completed step one, you know, and they spend, you know, the book spends a lot of time talking about, you know, about our disease, you know, and I needed that knowledge, and I needed to get that idea smashed, you know, into my consciousness that there was nothing I was going to do to change my DNA. I am, and I always will be, a compulsive overeater. And even just the other day, I was reminded that I still have the disease because I was in the supermarket, and gum is one of my gateway things, and I wanted to grab a pack of gum because my mouth was dry. It's like, no, Cheryl, you can't do that because you won't just have one piece. You'll be eating the whole pack. And fortunately, the sanity has returned to me, so I didn't engage in that. But I had to have a spiritual experience in order to recover. And that spiritual experience came somewhat anonymously in September of 23. And I don't have time to go into it today, but it was from that experience that I was able to finally, you know, get a hold of this program and to little by slowly, and I mean very slowly, start to incorporate the steps into my life and start to be willing to turn my life over to the care of a higher power. But first I had to come to know and to have a little bit of an understanding of God and what God could do in my life. And I agree that as time goes on and as I age, I become much more aware of the ways in which God is speaking to me and the ways that God is working in my life. And I'm still striving. I'm still trying to turn all aspects of my life over to my higher power, whom I choose to call God. So with that, I'll share the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cheryl L. in Florida. Next up is Liz S., and Liz will be followed by Lisa N. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Lindsay. Thank you so much for your service. This is Liz S., a recovered compulsive eater in Oregon. I am so grateful to the spiritual experiences I have had by following the directions in the Big Book. I find that for me, and this is sort of a very personal share, as all shares are, I guess, is that I realize that when I say the word God, I am limiting myself for me. I am limiting myself to this concept of a Judeo-Christian God. And I believe that there are many paths to spirituality and to understanding interconnection and interdependence and love of each other and love of things that are around us that fill and that fulfill us somehow. So this chapter and this book, the big book, opened the door for me to have a much broader experience than the way that I was raised. It allowed me to look to other spiritual programs around the world, not programs like 12-step, but, you know, I don't want to name them because I don't want to proselytize. But I find that I can look at one kind of concept of higher power at a time, and that all steps, all kinds of higher powers lead me to the same consciousness and spirituality and relationship that I call a spiritual experience and that I've had. So I'm really grateful to this meeting in particular and to this book and to all of you for leading me to a spiritual experience. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Liz S. in Oregon. Next up is Lisa N., followed by Julie N. Go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you so much, Lindsay, for your service this morning. Good morning, everyone. So this is a great paragraph because it really reminded me of the alcoholic torture, only with food, that I experienced even as a child, and how I had little or no control over the food I wanted to eat or ate. And I used to be, I kind of feel like as a child, I was really an observer, and maybe some of you did this too. I wanted to know, did you eat like I did? Did you eat like I did? I look at you. Now, you're not heavy, but I see you eating fast like I do. I see you wanting your lunch at the lunch table. And I hear you talking about dieting and how when you get home, so you don't overeat, you take a nap. So I knew there were people like me, but and they had good qualities, so they weren't like all losers like I was, right? And I really did think I was. Now, the strange thing is that I believed in God, and I believed that if I prayed that he would help me. And now, of course, I look back and I know he did. I know my God was helping me. Whatever you call your God, I don't mean to say he or she, but my God, I felt, was helping me. And I could feel the presence of a higher power. But yet I was suffering. And I remember my mother saying to me once, she had watched Larry King. She said, there was this woman on Larry King. She was always reading about dieting and about, you know, how to find ways to lose weight. And I think I told you all, she brought me to a pain, or she didn't bring me to a pain way. She went to a pain way to get me an adult diet for a child to eat, to help me. And that was her way. But she said, this lady said that God can help people lose weight. And I always wonder, was that Roseanne, you know, our founder? I don't know, but I felt like it was going to have to be God, too, helping me with this thing. And then, you know, the other message I got was, these people, these alcoholics are not sick. They say they're sick. They just don't have any willpower. They just, they're this, they're that. So many of those messages and so many observations of others, but one day being led to the doors of Overeaters Anonymous, I found out the truth. And that was, I was suffering from an illness. It wasn't any lack of who I just was a failure, a lack of, thank you so much. I'm here and I'm so grateful to know I have an illness, and there is a solution, and it's spiritual. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. And where are you calling from?
Oh, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Okay, great. Thank you. And the next up is Julie N., followed by Shelley B. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Lindsay. This is Julie M. from New York. I wanted to thank you for your great moderation and all the comments around the room. When I read this paragraph this morning, I honed in on the ifs, you know, if, right? So when I looked at this, I was like, checklist. It looked like a checklist to me. And then, you know, I internalize these, you know, if I make them into questions, right? And I can answer yes to all of these because I truly am a compulsive overeater since a child. And the only thing, you know, it says only a spiritual experience will conquer. And when I received the gift of desperation and on my knees and I asked God to please direct my attention to where you would have me be, it led me to, you know, this particular meeting, which has been a saving grace 3 years ago. And I just couldn't believe what I was hearing in these rooms of the recovery, the love, you know, the we. I clearly heard the we in this particular meeting, you know. And so God brought me to my knees, and I became part of the we on this equilateral triangle, God being at the top, and you fellows and myself on one of the sides, and how wonderful it is that I, you know, was able to recover through this program and through the love and kindness of wonderful sponsors along the way and the wonderful fellowship that have led me to this, to believe that, you know, my disease centers in my mind. And once that obsession is activated, you know, I don't know what will happen, but I really don't want to find out today that this disease brought me to my knees and that this disease brought me to God and to the most wonderful God that I've ever had in my life because of, as a result of doing these steps. And that today, God brings me to my knees and to thank him for all the many blessings that I receive on a daily basis and the abundance that I have in this life because of this particular 12-step program. I'm eternally grateful for all of you, and thank you for allowing me to share. Have a great day.
Thanks, Julianne in New York. And then next up is Shelley B., followed by Mary, and then we'll have time for a couple more shares. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning. This is Shelley B. in Iowa. Oh, so grateful to be here. And this has been such a fantastic meeting. You know, I came from another program, and my favorite paragraph in the book at that time from this other program was this paragraph. And it was because it helped me identify whether I was or wasn't an addict. And I completely was. But the thing that really helped me in the other program was the sentence about not being able to control what I take. I couldn't fathom not being able to quit because when I put that substance down, I was done. And then I came to OA and revisited this whole chapter and found that when I wanted to put the food down, I couldn't. And that brought a whole new meaning to this paragraph for me, for sure. And then I have to hone in on that last sentence, that I'm going to need a spiritual experience to conquer this disease. And I won't lie, it's taken me some time in the program to get there. And I even feel like, you know, some days I heard this shared, like some days, and this was very much me before I put the food down, was, I'm going to give God everything but the food. The food is mine because that's what soothed me. That's what took care of me. That was my best friend. And then I had to put the food down and I had to go through a grieving process with my best friend. And today, like sometimes it's still even the thoughts rear their ugly heads. And again, the only thing that will conquer it is a spiritual experience. And it reminds me all the time how close I have to stay with my higher power if I want to grow in this program and continue to stay abstinent. So I keep doing the work. And I had a wonderful sponsor years ago, you know, that just kept reminding me all the time what it says on page 88, that we are undisciplined. So we let God discipline us in this simple way. And so there are things that I just have to do every day. And some people, you know, some normal people look at me and think I'm crazy. But I will rest assured, I am very much more happy and content today than I have ever been. And I'm so grateful for that. That's the gift of this program. And yeah, I think with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Shelley B. in Iowa. And the next up is Mary in New York. Mary, will you give us the first initial of your last name and share with us?
Good morning. My name is Mary. I'm a food addict and overeater. I'm from New York. This is a really important chapter to me. I was never an agnostic. I was a person who was so rageful at God, having been raised in a faith community. My education was from a religious school, and I firmly believed in God when I was a child, and I felt like God did direct my life because I had a lot of fear of the alternative based on what I was taught. But I was a child of a lot of serious trauma. And when I first got in recovery in another program, I ran around asking to hear about the second step because I didn't know what I was going to do. My mother was a recovering alcoholic, so I knew about the 12 steps. I'd been to AA meetings with her, and I thought, I'm never going to get this because I believe in God, but I believe he's the son of a bitch, excuse my language. And so I struggled with that for a very long time. But when I was about 2 years sober, this woman took me out for coffee, and she said to me, because I'd raised the topic again, she said to me, Mary, it doesn't matter whether or not there's a God. The only thing you need to know is you're not it. And I really used that concept for a long time in my early recovery. And this anger I had is really coupled with a lifelong message that you're a smart girl, you can figure it out. And one of my chief character defects is my dependence on my brain, because it has kept me from being able to fully experience or fully be present for profound spiritual experiences, which I have had and have had recently. And so it's taken me many years to get to a place where I've given up the debating society and just try to be present in this day and to know that in this day, I have very little power. You know, all I can do is follow directions, pray, and do my best. And the rest of it is, thank you, is really up to my higher power. So I find this to be a lifelong process, and I'm just grateful to be here and be abstinent. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing with us, Mary. All right, we have got time for at least two more shares. So who would like to take those spots this morning?
Karen K., Mississippi.
Bonnie B.
Who is it? I got Karen, and then who is it? Oh, Bonnie. Karen and Bonnie will take us out. Awesome. All right, Karen K. in Mississippi. Go ahead.
Good morning, family. My name's Karen. I'm in Mississippi, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And this paragraph, really this chapter, so I've been in recovery for a while, and when I first started reading the big book, I skipped over this chapter. I didn't need this chapter. I had a higher power. I had faith, and I believed that I had turned it all over. And it wasn't until recently that I read this chapter and it really spoke to me. Like someone else earlier spoke about, I had areas in my life where I was not letting God in. I was still being dishonest. I was still trying to control my food myself. I had not turned it over to God. And this chapter has definitely taught me where my blind spots are. And the spiritual awakening I've had since I've gotten into OA has just been amazing. And it's like this chapter and this paragraph in particular, like, really talks about how I can't, you know, if I can't stop, or if I don't have control, I can't do this on my own. I can't do this without a spiritual experience. And I need a spiritual experience every morning because I have a really good forgetter. And I will slip back into my character defects on a daily basis if I'm not vigilant every day. So that's all I've got to share. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you, Karen K. in Mississippi. And then Bonnie B., go ahead and take us out this morning.
Hey, thanks, Lindsay. Thanks, everyone, for the shares. The meeting has been amazing, as always. Bonnie B., from Florida, but currently in Minnesota. You know, I came into this program, Recovered by the Grace of God today, I came into this program with a lot of contempt because I came in as a born-again believer in Jesus. I knew that if I had taken my last breath, according to my God, I would have been ushered into the kingdom of God. And this we agnostics, man, it did something to me. It just messed with my sense of security. It's like, I'm not an agnostic. I'm not an atheist. I'm not an agnostic. I'm a follower. I'm a believer. But this is what was brought to the surface as I worked these steps. Thank you, God. It has nothing to do with that definition. This is about what's underneath. Yes, I committed my heart to my Savior, no doubt. But there was all this stuff that was blocking me from Him. And there were many things that were removed when I first made that commitment. But this thing with food, uh-uh. And was I a liar when I came into this program? Oh, I sure was. Was I a deceiver? Absolutely. Most often to myself, right? And it had nothing to do with where I was going to spend eternity. This is that deeper stuff for me. I am so grateful for this program because everyone can come in where they're at and not be as I was, threatened by a word. As was shared earlier, the word agnostic, I believe it's a Greek derivative that means without knowledge. I did not know what was separating me, why I kept going back to the food. I knew that I ended up in the pantry every single night. And I knew that I just blew through a day, and when it got dark at night and I put the little ones to bed, all the emotions came to the surface, and my drug of no choice was food. But I did not understand it was because I was disconnected in certain areas from my God. I am so grateful, and I hope you can hear it in my voice, so grateful for this program. I am living a life that I never, ever, ever could have imagined. And it had nothing to do with my thinking when I came in as far as like what this title meant. This chapter, I almost didn't do the program because of this chapter. And this chapter, as many say, is now my favorite chapter because I focus on what it is and not on what it's not. And so if there's anyone out there who shares my faith and you wrestle with how do I do this program, because I hear it all the time. As a Christian woman, please call me. I'm on the list. We can do this thing. And it is beautiful, as can everyone else. So thanks, Lindsay. I think I'll pass with that, and blessings to you all.
Thank you, Bonnie B. in Florida. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study that will immediately follow our closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, June 9th, is 23,530. So that is 23530. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer together. Will Deborah S. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, good morning. I'm Deborah S., recovered in New Jersey. Thank you, God. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you could do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.